And the book of Philippians is where, you know, it's Paul writing about there's joy in suffering. And where is Paul when he was writing the book of Philippians, the letter of Philippians?
Was it jail?
He was in jail, you know?
Right.
I, Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, you know, that to me is a principle for us as believers. We have to stand up for what we know is right and true. You know, this world kind of continues to say, don't believe in anything at all. Let's not acknowledge God in any way. You can't talk about Buddha. You can't talk about Hindu. You can't talk about Islam. You can't talk about Judaism. You can't talk about Christianity. If you take away all the theism, what are you left with? Atheism. And by the way, that's just another religion. And so there's no neutral worldview. That's a false idea. Hmm. There's no neutral.
Right.
Hot, cold, one way or the other, you know.
Well, as we talk about the coming holidays and get into some conversation today about Palm Sunday and Easter, it reminds me that on Palm Sunday, everyone was celebrating Jesus.
Yeah.
And if we look to government and we look to people's opinions, even sometimes our own, and we don't stick with the truth as our standard, we can get into so many distractions, and we really can get lost, because one day they were honoring him as king, the King of Kings, and worshiping him on Friday, and yet a short time after that they were shouting, crucify him.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's
the
good.
Great question, who is Jesus, is so important. It is so important because, you know, who was it? C.S. Lewis. I've got my ideas about C.S. Lewis have changed a little bit over time. I still really appreciate the guy. Absolutely. I mean, his book, Mere Christianity. But like, you know, he's either a liar, a lunatic, or Lord. I mean, is he who he says he is? Was he just a great teacher? Was he just a great prophet? Was he the son of God? He can't be, you know, 1 + 1 = 2. That's how I look at it. If you said 1 + 1 = 3, are both of us right? No, only one of us can be right, you know? And so who is Jesus? And I think this idea of Easter lets us really reevaluate this critical conversation. Why Easter? Who is this king? And, you know, what was the purpose of him being crucified on the cross? I think that's very valuable. Maybe the second segment, because I think we're at the point for there. But, like, let's evaluate. Why Easter?
It's really one of the most important questions we ask as Christians ourselves, even if we've come to faith in Christ. And some of us may be in a valley of decision about whether or not we are believers. So I think it's a great topic for us to think about because it's central to our life. I think, you know, what you believe is what determines your behavior.
Absolutely.
You know?
And everyone has a worldview. Everyone has a belief system.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, this idea of Easter, many people here in Western, you know, in the Americas, we celebrate this big high holy day called Lent. Everyone knows about it. You've probably seen the ashes on people's heads. And, you know, it's the 40-day marker before Easter Sunday. You know, for many, they celebrate Mardi Gras to do as much sin as you want because tomorrow you got to give it up, right? And for 40 days, you've got to remove things, idols out of your life to help you focus on the Lord. Of course, a lot of people aren't really doing that. We've started a new tradition, I'll say, because it's just this year, but I actually find it so unique. And I'm really glad that I'm here today. It's April 11th. And I'll tell you, so 3 weeks before Easter is 21 days, which was March 30th. And I put this out on my Facebook page and our church page, and I shared with the congregation. Let's all, in an idea of Lent, commit to some prayer and fasting. And as we commit to prayer and fasting, and I also have not been on Facebook since then, so I put out the video and I don't know. It's out there. But take 21 days to read 21 chapters of the Gospel of John, one chapter a day, so that when we come back together on Easter Sunday, you will have read all the Gospel of John, and on Easter Sunday, you will have known the birth, life, death, and resurrection of Jesus when we come back together on that third week. Today, uniquely, coming in here, I read this morning about Jesus and his triumphal entry coming into Jerusalem, which, of course, this Sunday is Palm Sunday. In old Catholic tradition and in a lot of other Protestant churches, did you know that there was actually a special Sunday before Palm Sunday?
I'm not sure I did.
Yeah, it's called Passiontide Sunday. There's something called the church calendar. We mentioned this off air briefly, but you know, in the church year, there's certain highlights, right? So leading up to Christmas is a season of Advent, right? And after Advent comes up the time of Pentecost, and after that is Easter. And we have all those things during the year.
Yeah.
And the calendar, the church calendar, kind of helps us be reminded of the gospel story. Uniquely, after Easter and before Advent on the church calendar is called ordinary time. It's like nothing really happens. But yeah, but really all the Sundays before, each Sunday is a special marker, remembrance of a certain saint, remembrance of a certain story in the Bible, every member of a particular feast or festival. Each Sunday has a remembrance. But the fifth Sunday of Lent, which is the Sunday before Palm Sunday, is known as Passiontide Sunday. Passiontide Sunday is a point in the church calendar where ministers would preach on the suffering servant. A lot of people in the Christian world, you know, what we call Holy Week is known as Passion Week. Have you heard it that way?
Oh, yeah, yes.
You know, we'll focus on Passion Week when Jesus, after he comes into Jerusalem and what led up to his crucifixion. But I really love the heart of Passiontide, where let's look at what this king is supposed to be. The expectations of people on Palm Sunday was to be this glorious king who was going to come in and free the Jews, almost like Moses and Pharaoh, from the Roman Empire. And we were going to see Jesus topple over everybody. And yet the gospel, even according to Isaiah, especially chapter 53, is that this suffering king doesn't look like a man with a golden crown on a purple-robed clothes on a throne. He looks like the suffering servant straight out of Isaiah 53. And there we look at, no, the plan for Jesus' life was to suffer so that many would come to saving faith. So you look at that the week before Palm Sunday to ready yourself for who is Jesus. And then, of course, as we walk into Palm Sunday, what I read this morning, what did Jesus do just a few days before he rode in on a donkey? Do you know? Do you remember? A big miracle.
Yeah.
This is what got everyone stoked, saying, Hosanna in the highest.
Was it Lazarus?
Yes.
It was. Okay.
How important. You know, Jesus did fantastic miracles. Water into wine, you know. I love that story because Mary's like, Jesus, we got this party going on. We need something. Can you help us out? You know, yeah. He says, my hour has not yet come.
Right.
He's also, you know, calmed down the seas. He's fed the 5,000. He fed the 4,000. It's really 5,000 plus is the men and the women. But raising Lazarus from the dead, significant. I mean, this is like out of this world. You can feed a lot of people. You can maybe hope and pray that the winds die down and maybe they just happen to. But to raise someone from the dead, that must be the Messiah. And, you know, this guy, if he can raise anyone from the dead, I think he could topple the Roman government.
Yes.
No one's going to stop him.
Right.
This was the heart behind the people on Palm Sunday, waving their branches, putting their clothes on the road so that it would be a nice walk into Jerusalem and seeing all that Jesus is about to do. This was their expectation. They thought they would have this new Jewish king. You know, think about here, I'm talking with David Usher. They thought Jesus would be the next King David that they've been waiting for a millennia, right? And so this is the heart of what Palm Sunday for them 2,000 years was about. But of course, you and I, we live on the other side of the story. We know what happened. So Palm Sunday, as we think about it, is like, no, this is just He's got one more week left with his disciples.
Doesn't it make you think a lot about people's expectations? I mean, a lot of people were hoping he would be a conquering king. And and so often in lives, I do a lot of men's ministry, and people suffer under this idea of what are your expectations?
Yeah.
You know, and we have parents, many of us, God willing, you have a mom or a dad. And often we can feel really under pressure about what the expectations are. And I'm thinking Jesus knew what everyone's expectations of him were, and yet he knew he had a mission to accomplish. And I think sometimes it's important for us as people to really, like you did, you got together with men who cared about you and helped you understand what your calling was and to really know what you're on earth to do. And I mean, even Jesus himself dealt with a lot of these expectations of people that they wanted him to be this king, but he had a mission. And like you're talking about, this mission that he was to accomplish, he really had to stay focused on what the mission was.
Yeah.
And it's so easy, I think, for all of us to get sometimes a little distracted from what is our mission here on earth as Christians, especially. Yeah. And so as you're talking about this, it just is bringing up some ideas, I would imagine, in all of our hearts and minds about, you know, what does God expect from us as believers? And as we look at the life of Jesus as we are right now, it's a good time to really reflect on what Jesus was here to do, because we're supposed to follow in his footsteps. Yeah. So let's pick it up where you were on, you know, doing this great miracle of raising Lazarus from the dead, and now he's preparing for what's to come over the next...
You know, I think these people, they were looking for the miracle. Too often in our culture today, they think, well, maybe by becoming a believer, maybe this Jesus you're talking about will heal me of my cancer. And so I'm going to become a believer because I need healing. Unfortunately, that's the false pretense. It's a false way to come to know Christ. We weren't called to come into a life of a better life now, a healed life now. Now, though, the Lord can heal. I've seen many wonderful things happen. People, a lady in our church, practically dead, in a coma, induced coma through double pneumonia, came out of it. I mean, in a miraculous sense.
Tune in again tomorrow at 3 a.m., 7 a.m., or 3 p.m. for the continuation of this interview. I'm your host, Rhett Palmer, and this is a new day.
We'd like to thank Pleens Dental Arts in Vero Beach and Port St. Lucie for sponsoring It's a New Day. We'd also like to thank Center for Advanced Eye Care, Dr. Mallon, Center for Advanced Eye Care with offices in Fort Pierce and in Vero Beach. Thank you for supporting us.
Lord, I love to worship you. Oh, Lord, I love to worship you. You have given me so to be thankful for, and I love you is not enough to express my love. Everything I have inside of me, Lord, I give. There is nothing I can do. There is nothing I can do. There is nothing I can do but worship you. Yes, Lord, I love to worship. Lord, there's nothing more to do. There is nothing more to do but worship.
Your glory lights the stars and rising sun. Your power raises mountains like the dawn. How could I know?
Here at Grace Air, we specialize in all types and models of air conditioning. We also install and replace ductwork. We serve Palm Beach and Martin County. You can reach us at 561-932-7422. Remember, we keep you cool with Grace.
Hello, WCNO family. This is Jonathan McLean. I'm the general manager of WCNO. We had an awesome prayer and share. Thank you so much for being a part of that. A few of you have not yet responded. We are so close to meeting our goal. Give us a shout and let's get this thing finished off. God bless all of you. Call us 772-221-1100.
Revival's in the air. The kingdom of God is here. This is Luann Linneken, the host of Kingdom Recovery. I invite you to join me every Friday at 5 p.m. right here on WCNO 89.9 FM. Kingdom Recovery is a live, cutting-edge program where I will be talking about God's saving, healing, and delivering power. Don't miss it. Revival's in the air.
From sunny South Florida, and I'd like to share with you some exciting things that God is doing in the world of arts and entertainment. Join me now for A Heart for Hollywood.
There's no business like show business, like no business I know.
Ethel Merman was sure speaking the truth when she said there's no business like show business. Have you ever stopped to think about the business of show business? For instance, do you realize what's considered a low-budget film? It costs about $1 million to produce. That's before distribution and marketing. Yep, there's no show without the business. We know about the show. The creative work starts with God giving his creatures a creative spark. An inspired writer or producer has a burden to tell a story. Then they do the hard work of writing and casting and directing and making this amazing product, all to share their story with us. And what Christians in Hollywood are doing is amazing. It's ministry, and it's the show, and it's show business. And as Christian consumers of the arts, when we rent, buy, stream, or purchase tickets to movies that honor God and family, it sends this signal to investors that this is a profitable genre. This is an extremely important part of the filmmaking process. It is amazing as I watch what God's doing in the hearts of everyone supporting these films, both investors and consumers. The result is the quality and quantity of inspiring films are getting better and better. Like when Jesus told us in the parable of the talents, each person was given money and they had to decide how to invest it. If we are investing wisely in the kingdom, every time we buy a theater ticket, download a song, or a God-honoring film, we're investing in a ministry of show business. And we receive a gift in return, a chance to sit back, enjoy a story, and enjoy beautiful music while God speaks to our hearts. But just as we pay for any other goods or services, art and entertainment has a cost. Praise God for allowing us to honor Him in the process. Next time you watch a great movie, purchase an amazing piece of artwork, download a new song, be pleased to know you're taking part in bringing godly art to life. Thank you for joining me today, and thank you for continuing to pray for this most influential mission field. Please continue to pray for Hollywood and for the creative artists that God is using to change our culture.
Hinges on what happened in the past. Dr. Michael Youssef.
To follow Jesus means that you are willing to abandon yourself to Him. To follow Jesus means that you are willing to sacrifice what is near and dear. Sometimes that's your strong opinion. Sometimes that means that you're going to sacrifice your stubborn will that's standing in the way of following Jesus.
Learn more on Leading the Way with Dr. Michael Youssef.
9:30 a.m. and p.m. daily on WCNO.
Heavenly Father, as we think about the people all over the world that are in need of the gospel, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, we release right now an apostolic anointing on the young men and women. And Lord God, we pray that you would move in their hearts and make them mighty men and women of God. Lord, that you would reveal in every one of us right now the reality of heaven, the reality of hell, the finality of heaven, the finality of hell, the joy of heaven, and the needless suffering of hell. Father, in the name of Jesus, we accept the command to go into every nation and communicate your word. And Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, we pray that you would pour out a fresh, new spirit, Lord God, on every one of us, so that we can go where your word has never gone before, so that we can encourage people, so that we can train people, so that we can disciple people, so that we can communicate the life of your spirit and the joy of your word. Oh, Father, in the name of Jesus, give us children, give us disciples, give us followers of Christ. Give us people, Lord God, that we can nurture in you, that we can coach in you. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, we love being life coaches. We love being your instruments. We love living a life that reflects you. We love saying what you're saying. We love doing what you're doing. We love going where you're going. And Lord, we thank you that you're moving in powerful young men and women all over the world right now, calling them to be apostles and prophets, calling them to be evangelists, calling them to be pastors and teachers, calling them, Lord God, to be great businessmen and women in you, calling them to be screenwriters and journalists, calling them, Lord God, to be wonderful moms and dads, calling them to be the writers of law, legislators and judges, calling them, Lord God, to be television producers, calling them, Lord God, to be radio producers and announcers, calling them, Lord God, to be mighty men and women of God, salt and life. Oh God, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we knock on heaven's door, Lord God, and we cry out to you. Oh God, give us this next generation. Give us a generation of powerhouses. Give us a generation who understand the voice of God. Give us a generation that's bold and confident. Give us a generation, Lord God. Give us a generation, Lord God, that'll love you with all of their heart and mind and soul and strength, and will beat back the forces of darkness and pray, let thy kingdom come, let thy will be done in the earth as it is in heaven. And we'll be sure and give you the praise and the glory and the honor both now and forevermore. In Jesus' name, amen.
Can have You can have all this world. But give me Jesus.
Praise is warfare when the enemy is coming against you. Praise is how you fight. God inhabits your praise. Just like God comes in. When praises go up, blessings come down.
Join Pastor Trevor Banks at 7:45 a.m. and p.m. Monday through Friday, right here on WCNO.
Church of the Holy Spirit in Palm City reminds you that America has a covenant with God, established over 400 years ago at the founding of our great nation, to send the gospel into the world. Please pray for a robust revival in our nation, that we may honor this covenant in God's perfect time.
Full of mercy, who compares The masses fill up St. Peter's Square. Confessions, emotions spill out of desperate prayer. I know.